Not long ago, we were talking about the concession prices at Rogers Center for Blue Jays games. They're getting up there, but they're not race car prices, Jim.
Yeah, it turns out F1, Formula One races, are perhaps the most expensive confectionery on the planet. This is a menu from, I'm not sure if it's in a VIP lounge or something like that, and this is why the prices are so high. But generally in the VIP areas, the food is free, so this must just be for the general public who buys tickets to go to an F1 race.
Okay, this picture's gone viral. Yeah. Where was the F1 race?
It was in Miami.
All right.
So Florida.
So this is U.S. dollars.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that's really making the rounds is the price of nachos, which is relatable. Like every arena, every stadio has them. The nachos at the F1 races.
Hold on. Is this nachos like you're getting a full tray of nachos with cheese melted over top and vegetables and chicken? Or is this just the nachos with the glow-in-the-dark dipping cheese?
It is creamy salsa verde, salsa mexicana, cojita cheese, pickled onion cheese sauce.
Okay, so they're making it a little fancy.
By the way, you could describe any nachos, any pub that way with those words, and I would believe, like, that's nachos. They're not fancy. $180 for that order. It doesn't matter if they're glow-in-the-dark or fancy nachos. No amount of nachos is worth $180. Crispy wing board, which I'm assuming is just like a selection of wings. Lemon pepper. $190. It doesn't say, like, if you got 70 wings, maybe that price would be reasonable.
Well, no, even then. You want 190 wings I was thinking, that price.
But at a special event, but still. The F1 platter, which has a few sliders, secret sauce, a couple chicken tenders, $290. But then there's other things like Maine lobster rolls. Now, if you're ordering a lobster from any event, I don't feel bad for the
price. What's the lobster roll?
$280.
That's insane.
The most expensive, you can add caviar to any of the above things. To add caviar.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a regular concession stand.
Because just
it's caviar night at the ballpark. Add caviar to any food item.
Guess
for
how much?
A dollar?
No, guess.
The caviar would be $400.
It is exactly $400.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, take a look at this menu before you complain next time you go to.
We can still complain, but these are just next level.
Oh man. That's those better be the best nachos you've ever had in your life. Overtime Game 7 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Boston Bruins. Rick Lee, the Taz and Jim man on the scene, he's committed to his role. He drove 10 hours from Toronto to Boston in order to talk to fans outside the TD stadium there. He got a ticket to the game somehow. We got to call him later in the show and find out how much he paid for that ticket to get in for a game 7.
Yeah, probably not as much as you pay in Toronto, but probably not cheap.
But he, unfortunately, instead of talking to excited Leaf fans after the game, was talking to excited Bruins fans. And boy, excited might be an understatement.
You know what? I've been doing this since noon because I knew they would come out victorious. And what a glorious evening it will be. Let's go, Bruins!
Toronto sucks. Bruins, big balls.
Dude. Big old nutsack of the Bruins, baby.
It was a great series. Congratulations.
What's your chances of Florida?
Oh, boy.
I think the Bruins would probably go out 4-2.
That is a realist.
Yeah.
Message to Toronto, by the way.
Sorry,
you gave it an effort, but you know what? You always fall short to us.
Good try. I love you guys. It's always good to watch him play. I love it.
Sarcasm.
What's my thoughts? What? F***ing go, Bruins!
They suck.
You have any messages for Toronto?
They suck.
I don't think that was sarcasm. You must, if you're a Bruins fan, it must be awesome to watch the Bruins play the Leafs because they've won every time in the last 20 years. So. That's awesome.
That's true.
Like, your memories are good memories.
It ended up being a really good series, right?
Kinda.
Yeah, for Bruins fans. Here's what Leaf fans were saying in Boston outside the arena after the game.
It's rough. Like, we came down for game 7. Like, we really wanted to see this. Like, It is what it is. At the end of the day, somebody's got to win.
What do you think? It's the same every year, right? What are we going to do? Yeah.
Damn.
I thought I had him this year. We came all the way. You know, when they were down 3-1, I bought tickets because I felt like this year would be different.
Another loss. Not much to say.
These Bruins fans spilt beer on me.
It's a long drive back to Toronto after that game.
That one guy sounded like he had the 1,000-yard stare. I thought this was the year we made the drive all the way down.
It sucks. Still an experience, though. Like, it's still sweet to be there, but what a disappointment.
It was a great time until Boston scored and tied it up.
And they had they kept on showing these two guys in the crowd.
Yeah, like with the Leafs jerseys. Up.
Yeah, and they were loving it, and the Leafs scored. These guys going nuts, surrounded by yellow and black. And then a minute later,
they cut back to them, and they didn't look as happy. Oh, boy.
Shout out to those two Leafs fans, though.
Yeah.
And right good
luck
mix.
And good luck to Boston against Florida.
No.
You want Florida to beat them? Even though Florida beat the Leafs?
Yeah, it's not the same rivalry, whatever.
Okay, so you'd rather Florida beat Boston than...
Of course.
All right. I'm just checking, man. Don't get mad at me.
The rivalry is with Boston, as you can tell.
Yeah, I can tell. Look at that blood boil.
Why don't you try and find another little jingle there instead of that peacock? It's really annoying, and I'm getting sick of listening to it. Get rid of that peacock. You want to see your peacock?
Cuckoo!
I want to see your peacock. Your peacock.
You want to see your peacock?
I want to see your peacock.
Your peacock.
That reminds me, Dev, make sure you wish your mom a happy Mother's Day from us, okay? I will. Nice of her to record that intro for you.
we were in a bad headspace, Mom and I, at that time. We've repaired things, though.
Speaking of bad headspaces, earlier in the show, I asked Devin Peacock, our sports guy, the question, do you feel, as a Leaf fan, your own explanation as to what the heck was going on with the team in the first round of the playoffs? You had players missing. They weren't disclosing why they weren't in. Even after the game on Saturday, when Austin Matthews was asked where he was, why he missed a number of games, he said, that's not a discussion for today. That's a discussion for another day. I was surprised. Your response was, I don't care. What I want to know is, what's the plan moving forward?
The plan moving forward is really, I mean, I am curious, but the plan moving forward is what, if I have to pick between the two, that's what I want to know, because I don't want to have to experience these first-round playoff losses year after year after year. The core four has been around for a while, and they have not achieved anything. William Nylander was asked after the game on Saturday, should the core four stay together? He wants to run it back. Austin Matthews wants to run it back. They asked Sheldon Keefe after the game about the core four, and his response was kind of funny. There was like, if I could reenact it, they asked a question.
Big sigh.
And then he gave his answer, and he said, I think it's partly because he's tired of answering the question, but he did give his support for the core four. But when you look moving forward, something's got to change. So Austin Matthews, you just signed to a new contract. He's not going anywhere, nor would you want to get rid of a guy who just scored 69 goals for you. William Nylander, you just signed to a new contract. He's not going anywhere, nor would you want to get rid of him. John Tavares has underperformed for his contract. He's got one more year left. He's got a no move. Morgan Rielly, you just signed to a new contract. Relatively soon, he's your best defenseman. He's got a no move. You don't need to get rid of him. Mitch Marner has one year left on his contract. He's also got a no-move contract, and he has been, I think, taking the brunt of the fans' frustration in the playoffs. So if you are going to bring all those guys back and it's not a guarantee, you got to get rid of the coach. Keith has been here for 5 years now. When you look at other coaches who have as much tenure with him, they've achieved a whole lot more. They've either made the Stanley Cup Finals or they've won the Stanley Cup Finals, or they're considered to be one of the best coaches in the league. He's done none of this. So the idea that you could potentially bring it all back to me is unfathomable. You have to be living in a dreamland to think that they are close enough with the group they have right now. A change has got to happen.
I do agree. I wouldn't mind seeing Keefe go. But also, Nylander is the only player on that list that really played well. I guess Morgan Riley played pretty decently throughout the playoffs. But, like, Nylander, worth the money. Like, he stepped up, like he has in the past. Matthews, Tavares, and Marner just did not have great playoff, and have never had a great playoff run.
Well, I mean, Matthews was a beast in game two. Like, he was all over the place. Right. And then games three and four, he was apparently dealing with his illness and then missed five and six.
So. Marner did get one goal. Tavares got one assist.
Marner got a, you know, Marner scored the goal. He was coming back from that ankle injury. Like, but there's always excuses, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always excuses for the team. And so a change has got to be made. What I'm saying is it's not easy. If you want to trade Mitch Marner, it's not the easiest thing to do because of his contract, and it's a tricky situation. And what do you trade him for? You know, what's the perfect trade out there? I don't know if it exists. You're also trading him potentially at a time when his value is lower than you'd want it to be.
You say they need to get rid of Keefe. Isn't Keefe doing a press conference, speaking to the media today?
So I don't know why he is speaking to the media today. The idea that maybe that he's going to come back next year is just mind-blowing to me because of everything that's transpired. I don't know why he's talking to the media if he's not coming back. And if he's not coming back, I don't know why he's talking to the media. Like, what's going on?
Dish the dirt, Keefe. Go out with a bang.
I've been holding this in for 5 years.
You want to know where Austin Matthews was? Vegas. That's where he was.
Well, he was talking, when he spoke on Saturday, he talked about the Leafs in third person, and then he talked about us. So he was flipping between like the Leafs and we, which is a weird way to talk. He's got to know. He was signed to a contract extension. It means nothing. They can afford that to get rid of him. But it's weird that he's talking today. He should not be talking. Caw-caw.
Gotta love a good roast. Roasted, as my son likes to say. Roasted.
Oh, the kids are saying it still?
Anytime you take a jab at somebody. Roasted. Tom Brady was roasted last night on Netflix, and there was some good lines. Peyton Manning, he's always funny. He did a great job roasting his former rival.
It is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady, or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving. One thing that Tom and I definitely have in common, though, is our love of the game of golf. And listen, not to brag, we're both pretty good players. My handicap is a 6.4, while Tom's handicap is blowing leads in the Super Bowl to my brother Eli. The last time Tom Brady had to wait this long to get on stage, it was the 2000 NFL draft.
Brady did return some punchlines towards Peyton when he got up there.
Peyton, I know sometimes you live in Denver and sometimes you live in Louisiana, but you'll always live in my shadow. When I heard there was a slow white Bronco heading down the 405 to come here tonight, I thought we might actually see a real football legend.
That's good. It's funny, though, like Tom Brady, good jokes, but not great delivery. Like Peyton Manning is legitimately hilarious.
He's got the timing. When he goes Saturday Night Live, yeah. he, all the commercials he does.
Still good jokes from Tom.
Here's Bill Belichick, who also did a great job.
People connected me with a saying called, do your job, and telling people to do their job. And Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
Here's Brady going back at his former coach.
And now, for the real reason y'all here, Coach Bill Belichick. I've been out of the game for a minute, so I'm curious. How many Super Bowl rings have you won since I left? Maybe it's not just the guy on the sideline. When I go to the Indy 500, I don't ask the winning driver, hey, who gassed up your car?
Now, there was one joke. Roastmaster Jeff Ross took a shot at Robert Kraft, and Brady got visibly angry. He wasn't messing around. We'll play that clip for you in minutes here. Foo Fighters, good morning. We are Taz and Jim here on a Monday. Last night on Netflix, it was the roast of Tom Brady. People are talking about how the crowd turned on Kim Kardashian. She was on the dais, and she got up there to do her thing, and the crowd was booing.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Well, thank you. I know a lot of people make fun of your height.
That's Kevin Hart trying to calm everyone down.
Speaking of Tom and I dating, I know there were some rumors that we were, and I'd never say if we did or not. I just released the tape.
But I do know
it would never work out. An ex-athlete, high cheekbones, silky hair. You remind me too much of my stepdad now.
That's a good line. She had some good ones once it got going. Brady threw one back at Kim Kardashian. That was, this is a great joke.
Kim Kardashian, thank you so much for being here. I know Kim was terrified to be here tonight. Not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
Even though the roast was filled with profanity, you know, there were jokes about Deflategate, there were jokes about Giselle, there were jokes about crypto. There was one topic that really got under Tom Brady's skin. He snapped at one point on Jeff Ross, the roast master general. He was making a joke about Robert Kraft, and you can tell that Tom Brady is not joking around. Listen to this.
So Tom became a Patriot, moved up to New England, and on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office, and said, "I'm the best decision your organization has ever made." Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
Don't say that again.
He's having fun. Look at him.
Don't say that S again.
Is he actually?
No,
mad?
You got to watch the video. He
kind of had
angry.
A smile on his face. Like, he has to know that Robert Kraft is going to get that joke. He didn't know that he was going to be involved in that joke, but he can't not see that coming. I feel like he's joking to defend his boy. To try to deflect
he wants
from
to stay in Robert Kraft's good graces. So.
Or just like, it is kind of a dig, so he's like, hey, let's make this about me and move on. I don't know. Maybe just highlighted it more, but...
I'm surprised, though, they're joking about his ex-wife, he had no problem. But when it came to the owner of the Patriots, obviously Tom Brady has a lot of love for Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Roasted! Snoop Doggy Dog was mm-hmm. at the Kentucky Derby on the weekend. I don't know if he was there, but he was in like the opening montage that they played right before the race.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah.
When I think Kentucky Derby, I think Snoop Dogg.
It is very strange that Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart have become such a famous combo. Because Snoop Dogg did the introduction, like in a video montage, and then they cut to Martha Stewart,
mm-hmm.
who did Riders Up. So she was there down like on the track, telling the jockeys to get on the horse. Like Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart,
yeah,
one of the most. They're like Lucy they're like and Desi.
I was gonna say Steve Martin, Martin Short.
Exactly. Like, yeah. They're like a team now, which is very strange.
Are they secretly dating?
That would be awesome.
They're spending a lot of time together.
I bet something's happened.
They've had an accident, you know. Uh-huh. Where they were on set and they both ended up by craft services together at the same time or something, you know.
They went to check into the hotel and they only had one room left with a king bed.
Well, this is awkward.
Those aren't pillows.
Oh my God! They had a real trains, planes, and automobile situation. Yeah.
Speaking of Steve Martin, I hope it has. That'd be amazing. God. Martha's looking good in that swimsuit.
Sure, yeah.
Snoop Dogg. He's Snoop Dogg.
He does what he does.
Congratulations to Mystic Dan, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. That's the horse that won. It was a photo finish. Like the old expression, won by a nose. The horse literally won by like a flared nostril.
Hmm.
It was quite the race if you're a horse person. We're just talking about this story. A sewer company talked to their employees and asked them, what's the strangest thing that you found in a sewer? Fergie is on the line. He has a story that popped up, a memory that popped up when he heard us talking about this. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Start from the top.
So, you know, it's buck and doe season. Was in my late 20s, mid to late 20s. Went out with the girlfriend and the family. It was a family member of theirs at a buck and doe, and we were all feeling pretty good. So we go back afterwards and had a few cocktails back at their parents' place and, you know, got tucked in the middle of the night. And next thing you know, we're like, hey, somebody needs to help me. I guess the girlfriend's dad had a few issues at night and went to flush the toilet, and his teeth were in there, his false teeth. Needless to say, I had to go out and help get him, retrieve him out of the septic tank, and the garden hose was right there. And, yeah, he got him, sprayed him off, and put him back in.
Well, that brings new meaning to the term eating grin.
I just shook my head, and I'm like, yeah, just when you've seen it all. No, you haven't. You're standing there just
in the middle of the night trying to get someone's teeth. Like, was he barfing in the toilet or something? How'd the teeth fall in there?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't there for that part. I was just saying, hey, can you help retrieve this? And I'm like, what?
When you opened up the septic tank, were they sitting right on top, or did you have to dig?
Dude, I was just holding the flashlight. I dig it, and then the flashlight, and I let him do the rest. Like,
I mean, like, how would you even, like, talk about a needle in a haystack? Like,
well, Jim, you know what it's like. This is over Tavi way. Mitchell's much the same way.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of stories here that we don't know about, but are very similar, Jim.
Yeah.
You know what they say in those parts? Just spray your teeth off and put them back in your mouth.
That's exactly it. So thanks for the memories, guys.
Oh, will your mom do it? Will your mom do it? Will your mom do it? Will she do it? We've got Katie on the line. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
You are going to call your mom, Karen, and ask her to do something, okay?
Okay.
You're married, Katie?
I'm married, yep.
Married, couple kids at home?
Yep, two little girls.
All right, you are going to call your mom, and you are going to say, Mom, my husband found that I have Tinder on my phone. And he was asking why I have a dating app on my phone. And I panicked and I told him, I downloaded it for you because you're interested in getting back on the dating scene. So you asked me to teach you how to use Tinder, which is why I downloaded it on my phone.
Okay.
Is your mom a single lady?
No, she's happily married.
Well, this should be interesting then. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Let's call Katie's mom, Karen. Now remember, we're not here. Do not mention that you're on the radio.
Yeah.
And try and convince her to do it.
Hi. Oh, hey.
Hey.
I need a favor from you.
Okay.
Okay, so I downloaded Tinder, and Josh, like, saw that I downloaded Tinder on my phone, you know, like, the dating app. And I freaked out this morning when he, like, asked me, like, why do you have Tinder on your phone? Like, I know we met on Tinder. It was, and anyways, like, so when I told him that, I said that I downloaded it to teach you how to use it so that, like, you could meet people.
Who's you?
You, like, I told Josh that I downloaded it to help you use it. So if he asks you, I need you to tell him that you asked me to download it.
Why did you download Tinder?
I don't know.
What?
But you just have to say that I did it for you.
No, I'm not going to say that. Just tell them that was a stupid bullshit answer. I don't give a why would I want to meet people? That's ridiculous.
You just say it, and then I'll just, and then I won't have lied to him.
No, you tell him that you told him a lie. No, you. Why would you just say it was Katie? What the fuck? I'm not going to go through my life having Josh think that I'm trying to download Tinder.
Okay. Just you won't. You are you sure? You just say it, and then I can tell him later.
No, I will not. It's like that would be the stupidest thing I would have ever done in my whole fucking life. No, I will not admit to something fucking stupid like that. Are you nuts?
Okay, Mom.
You tell
Mom.
Karen.
What?
You know, you've been married for a few years. Things get a little stale, and it's not even that you really want to meet anybody. You just want to see what else is out there. So you download a dating app. What's the harm? Just tell Josh that it was you.
Mom, you're on the radio.
It's Taz and Jim. We're live on the radio doing a game called Will Your Mom Do It?
You stupid. You know, there's two happy men listening this morning.
That's
and it's
right.
Mr. Karen and Josh right now.
Yeah.
Got lucky.
Yeah, you got some faithful ladies.
Yeah.
Karen has no time for nonsense.
I
it.
I love it.
Karen, the reason Katie put you in this situation is to win you a prize. You and her are going to see Billy Idol perform.
Oh, my God. This is for real.
This is for real. And you're getting $250 to spend at Charm Diamond Centers.
Amazing. Awesome. Oh, okay, I'll just hurry up. The diamond ring is missing. The diamond's missing from my ring of this faithful marriage.
Oh, perfect. So you need a diamond.
Yeah, I do.
I got to say, guys, she would have done anything for me but that.
Yeah, we found the one thing.
Would you like to say anything to your mom, Katie?
No, just I love you, Mom. You're too funny.
It is too funny.
Do you want to give us one more F-bomb just for the heck of it here?
I was going to say, I swore.
You swore a lot, yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Karen.
Thank you.
Do we want to go here? 10 strangest things that have been found in sewers is the headline.
Mm.
Toys, number one. That's not that strange.
Yeah, it's literally the most obvious thing when you have kids around.
Ken dolls, Barbie dolls, Dora the Explorer action figure.
Nothing goes from like so heartwarming to depressing than seeing like a very dirty teddy bear. You know what I mean? Like a brand new clean teddy bear. Oh, adorable. It covered in mud and whatever else.
Yeah.
It's like a scene out of a horror movie.
Yeah. Or remember the teddy bear in Breaking Bad from the airplane that blew up?
Yes.
That it landed floating in the pool. Yeah. It is. It's quite the visual. What else has been found in sewers? Pieces of a garden shed. Now, I'm always impressed by this. Like, stuff that's way too big to be flushed down a toilet. You wonder, how did this get down here? Somebody would have had to open a manhole cover or, like, a sewer grate and stuff. I don't need this shed anymore.
Garbage guys didn't take it away on garbage day. Well, down the sewer she goes.
False teeth. You understand that one.
Sure.
Underwear. Again, you have a little...
We've all been there.
You have a little accident. Need to get rid of the evidence?
Mm-hmm. Now, me, I put it in the garbage can.
You say this like you've done it multiple times, Jim.
Once. I did it once. At a party, I had a sneak away.
Yeah, when you think it's a gas and it turns out to be a solid.
I found a bathroom near the baseball diamonds. And that's where those shorts were laid to rest.
The shorts or the shirts? Chopped up bed frame found in a sewer. Glasses. Yeah, they fall off your face while you're going. That
sure,
makes sense.
Sure.
Wallets, keys. Yeah,
standard.
Cutlery's kind of a weird one. Who's eating on the toilet?
Yeah, that's weird.
Car tires. Again, too big to flush down the toilet.
Yeah, someone's that's a dirty trick.
This is from a recent poll of people who work in the sewer industry. Weird things that they found down there.
Yeah, no cell phones though, eh? Because to me, that would be like the number one thing.
I'm surprised that cell phone isn't on the list, let alone being at the top of the list.
Yeah, I guess it's not weird, but you just think. Maybe that's more of a porta potty thing. I don't know. But the amount of people I've heard dropping them into porta potties.
Of all the things that fall in a toilet, though, I think cell phone is one of those items that people will go in for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll go after
it. Because they're $800.
And you got everything on there, right?
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.